reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately, the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. And his master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." But then the one who received the 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and I buried your talent in the ground, and here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not then have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. In today's Gospel, Jesus tells of a king who entrusted some money to 3 servants. What is a talent? You may be thinking that it is some kind of denomination of coin. In fact, in this same parable in the Gospel of Luke, it speaks of 10 coins. But Luke was a physician, while Matthew worked for the IRS. So he was used to dealing with the big bucks. In those days, a talent was a weight. It was a weight of about 75 pounds. This is what a talent of gold would look like. About this big. This weighs about 10 pounds. If it was actual gold, it would weigh 75 pounds. The 1 talent of gold today is worth about $1.3 million. And that was not a trivial sum. So to the servant who received the 5 talents, he was responsible for about $6.5 million. The second, about $2.6 million, and the third, about $1.3 million. So it's easy to see why the king was eager to know what kind of return he could get on his investment, since he had invested with these servants about $10.4 million. Now, if he could manage to get a 10% return on his money, it would double in about 7 years. And the expected returns from each of these servants was not equal. Each of the 3 servants did not receive at least the same amount. In fact, the gospel tells us that the king distributed them each according to his abilities. Now, notice when the 1st and 2nd servants presented the king with his return, he rewarded them similarly in both instances. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibility. Come and share your master's joy. The king was obviously very rich. I mean, having given over 6.5 million to one servant, he says, since you were faithful in small matters. I don't know about you, but to me, $6.5 million is more than a small matter. So why is Jesus telling us this story about banking? Well, as with most of the parables, there are several layers of meaning, and each of which presents us with a lesson that we can ponder and learn. Now, the first is the local meaning of the parable. Jesus is the king, and his riches far exceed all that we can imagine. And yet, through his revelation, he has entrusted to the Hebrew people some knowledge of his kingdom. And so he's talking primarily here to the Pharisees. Now, it's not only to the Pharisees, because we too are entrusted with treasure, this knowledge of the kingdom. And he gives it to us in order to bring people to God. And that was the job of the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, to draw more people to God. And what did the Pharisees do? Well, like the third servant, they fenced off the faith from the common people. As we heard in the gospel 2 weeks ago, he said they tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. So they built this fence in order to keep others out so that they could retain their exalted positions. These Jewish leaders were well aware that Jesus was referring to them when he mentioned the third servant. Out of fear, I went up and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back. The Jewish faith was headed nowhere under their leadership. Now, we have been given a great gift of faith, but do we view it as something that we need to share with others? Or do we bury that faith in the ground? Do we bury it within the walls of this church and don't take it with us past the door? The lesson to the Jewish leaders was the first layer of this parable. Now, the second layer is directed at us today as well as to all men. And it probably comes as no surprise that the etymology of our English word talent it entered the English language about the 15th century. Seems to have coincided with the printing of the Bible in English. And so people recognized that from this gospel passage that we read today, that word talent equated to gifts that God had given to us. And so that's how our English word talent gained its meaning, which was a special natural ability, aptitude, or gift committed to one for use and improvement. And indeed, that adoption of that usage came about that time, because people recognized from this gospel that we all have talents of differing to differing degrees. We are all equal in dignity, but we are not equal or not equally endowed with talents. Some of us have many, many talents. Some of us have only a few. Some of our talents allow us to soar to unbelievable heights. For some of us, we don't have those talents. Some of us possess the ability to sing beautifully, like our choirs and our cantor. Some of us do not possess such a talent, as we can hear when I sing. In life, God wants us to discover the talents he's given us. But then he expects us to employ those talents for the benefit of our neighbor, the church, and the whole world, to return to him this fruit of his investment in us. Not all of us have talents analogous to this degree. Not all of us have equal abilities. But like the first two servants in today's gospel, we are under an obligation from the king himself to make use of those talents to increase the treasure of the king. And when we bury those talents, whether through fear or neglect or laziness, the talent atrophies. It diminishes. Remember what I said in the definition of the word talent. It's a special natural ability committed to us for use and improvement. We are commanded, yes, commanded by God to use our talents for the benefit of the church and the world. In Luke, this parable, Jesus tells us, much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Now, should we selfishly or negligently bury our talents in the ground, Jesus says to us in today's gospel, throw this useless servant out into the darkness, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Our first reading from the book of Proverbs, in fact, gives us a very good example of the right use of our talents. It refers to the worthy wife. It says she obtains wool and flax and works with loving hands. She puts her hands to the distaff and her fingers ply the spindle. In other words, she's using her talent for her spouse. And he regards her value as far beyond pearls, an unfailing prize. So who is this worthy wife? We are. The church often is described as the bride of Christ. We are to use our talents to please our spouse, Christ the Lord. And why does any spouse strive to serve their spouse? It's because they love him or her. And that brings us to the third layer. First layer was the spreading of the faith by the Pharisees. The second layer was our special individual talents. This is the third layer. There is one talent that all of us possess. Every one of us has this talent, and every one of us is commanded to use this talent. And should we refuse to use this talent in this life, it will be taken away from us in the next life. Take the talent from him, give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This talent that we all possess is called love. Every one of us has the capacity to love. We don't all necessarily start out with the same capacity to love, but we all have a capacity to love. And unlike many of the other talents, when the more we use love, the greater becomes our capacity. And so our capacity grows and grows. Remember the worthy wife. What else did Proverbs say about her? It said she reaches out her hands to the poor and extends her arms to the needy. In other words, love is an absolute requirement to qualify us as a worthy wife. So returning to the parable, God loves each and every one of us to an infinite degree. And most of us, the talent of gold is representative of an infinite gift. And just like the servants, God hands us this gift without our earning it, without our deserving it. It's a totally free gift. And he gives us a human heart where we can hold this marvelous gift and from which we can give it freely. The gospel says, freely have you received? Give freely. Day after day after day, we encounter opportunities to invest God's love in our neighbor. Unlike money, love gains value when it's given away. In fact, if it's not given away, it has no value. The more we give, the more we have to give. Not only that, the church and the world benefit when we give love. When we invest our money in a company, often that company uses that money to expand its operations and create jobs for more people who in turn bring more money into the company. In like manner, but even to a greater extent, when we invest our love in those we meet, that love is carried forth into the world, and it spreads around the globe to a degree that we can hardly imagine. How many times have we heard someone say, "I did some good thing because someone did it for me when I was in need, and I thought I should give back"? Well, the person who originally did the good deed for that person, they may not even be there. In fact, they may no longer even be alive. But the love they gave, that they invested with that individual, has now paid dividends and is now about to be reinvested and reinvested and reinvested. And when will the full accounting of that original investment be made? It's when the king returns. Now, next week, we're going to celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, and we celebrate the kingship of Jesus. And then we will enter a season of Advent. So 4 weeks where we will anticipate the coming of the King. At the end of our lives, Jesus the King comes to each one of us for an accounting. How did we utilize those talents and abilities that were given to us to benefit those in need? And most of all, how generously did we invest our love with those whom we encountered, especially those who we found to be most unlovable? Will our accounting show that we went off, buried our talent in the ground, where it remained to no one's benefit, not even our own? Or will we be amazed and astounded when Jesus reveals the global reach of the love that we freely gave? Can we even measure our joy when we hear Jesus speak those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's joy. Live, Jesus."